Greetings, fellow Wisconsinites. Thanks for tuning in to VCY America's Homefront program today, a show where we talk about important cultural and legislative issues that are happening right here, right now, right on our home front. And we talk about them from a unique perspective, a biblical worldview. I'm Jelaine Appling, and I'm honored to be a co-host of this program. I also serve as President Emeritus of Wisconsin Family Council. Joining me in co-hosting this program is Daniel Degner, the President of Wisconsin Family Council. Wisconsin Family Council is a statewide organization working to strengthen, preserve, and promote God's plan for marriage and family, the sanctity of human life, and religious freedom in our state. And with that, let's just dive right into today's discussion. So here we are, Daniel, with a major, critically important election just 20 days away. It's hard to believe that, but the drumbeat is certainly quickening. In the midst of this, Wisconsin plays a pivotal role in at least the presidential and U.S. Senate outcomes. Plus, we are a targeted state because liberals think with the new legislative maps we have that they can flip our state legislature in at least one house, and they want to flip that from a conservative majority to a liberal majority. This is definitely an election where every vote counts.
That is for sure, Jelaine. Every vote counts, and we need Christians to be informed and engaged now more than ever before. Unfortunately, too often Christians sit out elections as if they aren't important or aren't part of our stewardship responsibility. Interestingly, earlier this month, the Cultural Research Center at Arizona Christian University, headed by George Barner, released a report from surveys saying that 32 million Christians who are regular churchgoers are projected to abstain from voting in this upcoming election. Now, that's a huge number. But even if Barna is off by 50% and we have 16 million regular church-going Christians planning to not vote, we definitely have a problem.
We do have a problem, Daniel. Barna's right. What's even a little more worrisome is that the surveys used for this report indicate that, and I'm quoting here, large numbers of Christian churches have distanced themselves from the election, refusing to even encourage congregants to vote and avoiding teaching related to many of the key social issues that will determine which candidates people will support, end quote. Daniel, is this what we've seen here in our state?
Yeah, it was interesting. There was a different Barna study from the past that found these numbers to be accurate and reflected that just 10% of churches utilize election resources in past elections. But thankfully, with the growth of Wisconsin Family Council's Church Ambassador Network initiative, we have seen this shift as we've encouraged churches to engage government for the advancement of God's kingdom. Our Choose Well toolkit provides churches with election resources that encourage Christians in the pews to honor God with their vote. Out of the 3,000 evangelical churches in Wisconsin, over 900 have already received this resource.
You know, all of that is really encouraging, and I'm so thankful for the Church Ambassador Network and its ongoing work to connect with pastors and then to connect pastors with elected officials. As you know, we don't have time to analyze everything in this report, but I think it would be good for us to look briefly at some of the reasons these church-going Christians gave for not voting in this election that culminates on Tuesday, November 5th. And by the way, this report is available at arizonachristian.edu. arizonachristian.edu. Just click on Cultural Research Center on the right side of the top menu bar. So here's the leading reason these self-described regular church-attending Christians gave for not voting. The most common reason offered by two-thirds, 68% of these non-voters, is a lack of interest in politics and elections. I'm sorry, but I am really struggling to get my head around that. Lack of interest in politics and elections? You and I could talk about that all day, Daniel, but let me just say, this is almost truly frightening. It shows how very uneducated people are about the subject and how they truly do not understand how elections and their consequences impact their lives or about their Christian responsibility to be a good steward of this form of government we've been given.
Absolutely, Jelaine. I agree. And as Christians, we need to press hard on education, but we need churches to also join in as well. Some of the other common reasons for not voting in this study included disliking all major candidates at 57%. Also feeling that none of the candidates reflect their most important values at 55%, and believing that their one vote will not make a difference in 52%. Half of the non-voters said they will avoid voting because election has become too controversial for their liking at 50%. And over 48% of non-voters claim they were deterred to vote due to the belief that the election will ultimately be rigged. Many who fall in this category claim they won't vote because they feel their vote won't matter. However, as we often say, the only way to ensure your vote won't matter or count is to not vote. We need to come together and we need to have all of our voices heard collectively. And that can only happen if we get each and every Christian to vote to lessen evil by November 5th. Recently, I spoke to a pastor last week, and he was extremely concerned with the issues regular church attending Christians listed in order of their importance from the survey. The top issue reported is inflation and cost of living, ultimately their pocketbook and their wallet. That's followed by the economy in general, then immigration and border control, then crime, then poverty and homelessness, then poor leadership and government mismanagement. And finally, as number seven in the list, comes the issue of abortion, with just 41% of church-going Christians saying it was important to them as it relates to this election. Moral decline comes in at 16, with just 23%.
Look, I'd agree that the economy and immigration and crime are important issues. There's no question there. But I also strongly assert that abortion should be much higher on this list, because this is a list of people who are saying these are the issues that are important to them as Christians, regular church attending Christians. And frankly, I don't know for sure why it's not. But I will say, at 50 years of hearing that abortion is a right and a freedom, and 50 years of many churches being silent on the issue of abortion and life, might have something to do with it. So Daniel, we need to wrap up this segment, but what's our final word on this for today?
Wisconsin Family Council ultimately encourages Christians to engage in our electoral process. For most of Christendom, believers haven't had the opportunity to choose their government leaders. We are blessed to live in a constitutional republic where we can vote for candidates that will lessen evil. Together, we can come together to vote for a Wisconsin where God is honored, life is cherished, families thrive, and religious freedom flourishes.
You know, Daniel, of all segments of society, Christians ought to be the most informed and the most engaged, because we know and we have the truth. But we need to move on here because we could spend the rest of the program on it. Friends, please make note of the important dates we're going to give you so you don't lose the opportunity to vote just because you missed some important election deadlines. First, you can still get an absentee ballot by mail. It's not too late, but we strongly encourage you to do it by tomorrow to be safe. To get an absentee ballot by mail, either call your municipal clerk and request one, or request it online at myvote.wi.gov. That's myvote.wi.gov. That absentee ballot must be returned to the clerk's office no later than the closing of the polls on Tuesday, November 5th at 8 p.m., and that's statewide. We suggest getting that ballot returned in the mail very soon, or delivering it in person to your clerk's office between now and Election Day. And importantly, you can track your absentee ballot from start to finish, again, at myvote.wi.gov.
And we also in Wisconsin have early in-person voting, which begins this upcoming Tuesday, October 22nd, and runs through Friday, November 1st, in most clerk's offices around the state. We encourage you to call your local municipal clerk to get specific hours and dates for early in-person voting and find out when it will be available for you. Finally, Election Day is Tuesday, November 5th, the last day where you can legally cast your ballot. You can also register at the polls on Election Day if you need to, and this includes the changing of your address if you've recently moved, like myself. Very important is that you go to myvote.wi.gov to see your sample ballot. Find out who the candidates are, and we encourage you to do your research. iVoter Guide is now available online at iVoterGuide.com. That's iVoterGuide.com. You should also check out other online voter information publications. We also want to remind you that everyone in Wisconsin will have a binding referendum on their ballot dealing with citizenship and voting. Here is the wording on the ballot. Eligibility to vote. Shall Section 1 of Article 3 of the Constitution, which deals with suffrage, be amended to provide that only a United States citizen, age 18 or older, who resides in an election district, may vote in an election for national, state, or local office, or for a statewide or local referendum. You need to know what a yes vote means and also what a no vote means.
Well, these referenda can get confusing. We admit that. To clarify, this referendum would amend our state constitution, which currently says, and I'm quoting, every United States citizen age 18 or older, and it goes on, may vote. This referendum replaces the word every with only. And it also clarifies that this is a requirement to vote in any election, national or federal, state or local. Daniel, you've pointed out several times that there are other states where they've been having trouble restricting local elections, for instance, to just U.S. citizens. So a yes vote on this referendum means you want to amend our state constitution to ensure that only a bona fide U.S. citizen can vote in any of our elections. A no vote means you're fine with leaving the word every in our constitution and not changing that to only as it relates to who can vote in our elections.
And a no vote also provides future opportunities for local municipalities to allow for non-citizens to vote in our elections. But this election is a big one, and it will have big consequences that are long-reaching and lasting. As we wrap up this segment, we want to encourage everyone to go find 10 others who you know who might not vote faithfully and encourage them to do so. Give them helpful information, offer them a ride to the polls, whether that be for early voting or for the day of the election. Even offer to babysit or anything else that you can do to help them cast a legal ballot. We also want to make sure that you know there are resources to help you. Wisconsin Family Council has developed a Choose Well toolkit for pastors and churches. We encourage you to look at that at wifamilycouncil.org. That again is wifamilycouncil.org. And if you like what you see, recommend it to your pastor. Our partners at Wisconsin Faithful have also developed educational voter information publications for U.S. Senate and the presidential races. And those are also available at wifamilycouncil.org. We also encourage everyone to be much in prayer for this election and for God's people as we cast our ballots. At Wisconsin Family Council, we are in the midst of a special prayer emphasis. Each morning at 9:29, we spend time as a staff in prayer for biblical transformation in our families, in our churches, our communities, our state, and our nation. That's based on what Jesus told his disciples in Mark chapter 9, verse 29. Some things are only accomplished by prayer. We believe that that's very true of the transformation needed in our state and our nation right now.
Well, amen to that. And with that, let's quickly switch gears and cover something that was before our state Supreme Court just last week. And that has to do with our governor's veto ability.
Yeah, and this has probably fallen off a lot of people's radar screens. But back in June 2023, when the current budget was passed, Governor Evers used his veto pen to authorize increases to the property tax levy limit for school districts. He did that by striking out some of the select numerals. Specifically, he changed the $325 per student increase intended for just the 2023 to 2024 school year, so that the increase happens annually until the year 2425. Amazing that he has obligated Wisconsin citizens for over 400 years to annual budget increases. It's unreal.
Amazing and unreal is right. That's not at all what the legislature intended. And fortunately, the Brown County Taxpayers Association has filed a lawsuit with the state Supreme Court challenging what the governor did. And our friends at Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty have now filed a friend of the court brief in this case in support of the Brown County Taxpayers Association. As Will points out, what the governor did does not represent anything the legislature approved. This is a clear disregard for the separation of powers and undermines the integrity of our governing institutions.
And this clear disregard should concern all of us. Last Wednesday, our state Supreme Court heard oral arguments in this case, which, by the way, can be seen at wisey.org. That again is wisey.org. I was encouraged to see during oral arguments that at least two liberal members expressed some concern that a governor could have this level of authority with a veto pen. Now we wait to see what this liberal-leaning court decides on this important issue regarding the power of the governor's veto pen.
And with that, we have a wrap for today, folks. If Wisconsin Family Council can help you with anything we've talked about or to find out how you can support our efforts to strengthen, preserve, and promote our shared values, please call us at 888-378-7395 or visit us online at wifamilycouncil.org. Thanks for listening. This is Jelaine Appling and Daniel Degner for Wisconsin Family Council reminding you that God, through the prophet Hosea, said, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge."